Hey friends, before we dive in, my new book, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is out now, available on intentionalparents.org exclusively, so go check that out. Christmas is coming. What a great Christmas present to get your family praying. And don't miss our upcoming retreats, the Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, February 19 through 21, 2026, in Costa Mesa, California, and the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We announced this April 23rd through 25th, 2026 in Franklin, Tennessee. Please come out and know that early bird pricing is on both of those events, so check that out. These retreats are spaces to pause, breathe, and invest in your spiritual formation as a parent. So learn more, get your tickets now at intentionalparents.org, and let's get into this week's episode. You're listening to the Intentional Parents Podcast, brought to you by Intentional. Intentional is all about spiritual formation in the family. We desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Enjoy this week's conversation. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Elizabeth just started us with a really great idea for this episode.
Oh my gosh, did not know you were going to start there.
Oh, I wanted to because she started with, I really miss when we used to be able to do this in sweatpants. Tell us more about that, sweetheart.
Well, my kids get very surprised when they see me in like jeans or normal clothes and ask, where are we going?
Mom and dad are working today because now there's a camera.
No, literally this morning they saw me come downstairs and go, Scarlett goes, are you podcasting today? Like, what gave it away?
She didn't. That's even better.
No, my outfit gave it away, apparently.
Wow.
Well, we do look very nice.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got it from your mom.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Well, welcome back. And we're going to respond to questions today. You guys send so many questions in. This is the truth, and we love it. And so we just want to do a proper job of having a good flow of questions that we're responding to that you're sending in. And so thank you for doing that. And you know I'm going to say it, so I'll just say it really quickly. Thank you to everybody who's rated and subscribed. It really does make a huge difference. So thank you if you've done that. If you haven't left a comment and this content's helped you or blessed you, would you just leave a comment that also lets the algorithm know that you're interested and helps send it to more people. So thank you for that. Also, YouTube, have to mention that. That's a whole space you can watch all of this. And we're looking forward to jumping into your questions today. So who's ready? You guys don't know what these questions are.
I actually don't
know. You never tell us.
I don't tell you, but I don't also know all of them because there's just too many. So, okay. Ooh. All right, first question. Do you have any suggestions or practical tips for the best way to navigate communication for your teen / tween with their friends when they don't have a phone?
Ooh.
This is a good one. So how do we navigate in real time our children who don't have phones with their friends that do have phones? How do you navigate communication between them?
My first thought is if you're holding off on any sort of communication device for your teenager with their friends, first of all, know that there are options that would just allow for talking back and forth. Mm. But if you're wanting to hold off on those, which we totally get, then I think you make your devices as available to them as they would like them to be. Mm. Meaning, just because maybe you have a way that you are feeling led to do technology to help communicate to them, that doesn't mean you can't communicate with your friends. And so I will make my devices available to you. And what I mean is, like, let them text their friends through your phone, mm-hmm. Or through your computer or whatever it is. And I'm not saying give them unlimited access, passwords to everything. They can access it anytime, but whatever you deem as feeling like safe, you feel good about it, but it enables them to be able to communicate with their friends. I think one thing that was helpful to me when our kids first got the Gab phone and they could communicate back and forth, I had a minute of feeling like, I don't like how much they're texting. And then I had this moment of realizing this is no different than when the phone was on the wall growing mm-hmm. up, connected to a cord, and my friends could call anytime. And yeah. I could talk to my friend anytime. I didn't have to ask my parents if I was allowed to talk to my friend on the phone. And there were times when, like, mom
good
would
insight.
Pick up the other line. This is how old we are. pick up the other line and say, I need you to get off the phone. I have to call so-and-so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Brooke, didn't I hear, when we were speaking recently, didn't I hear you say the landline is coming back?
This is actually where I was going to
highlight. Jonathan Hyatt is bringing it back.
I got to hear more about this.
Well, I think it's important to say, like, one of my thoughts is, as to respond to this question is, I think it's getting creative about different ways of communication. So some, they do the watch. I think there's a lot of, like, a Gab watch. There's a Gab phone. I think there's ways for them to communicate that are still safe, but maybe just appropriate to the cultural moment. If you're like, no, we call in our house and then you have a landline. That's another way to do it. I mean, our friend, Justin Early, he has a landline at his house and his boys call it.
Wow.
And I saw it in real time.
I held it.
Like, look at this wonderful. It was actually a new phone. They're making new old looking phones.
Gee, it's that's great. Cool. It makes me feel not so old again.
So younger again. Listen,
you're still
that.
As old as you are.
I know. I'm just joking. I'm just thinking that's funny. Now it's cool and vintage.
It's, I mean, truly it is. My kids wouldn't even know what to do. My little girls still say, so you have to call 991. And I was like, oh, please do not call 991. No one will answer. You will die. No one's coming to
your
rescue.
Their favorite part about staying in a hotel, though, is the landline.
It's called, especially if we're all traveling together, they love calling.
They come over to our room and they call back and forth.
They call the rooms. Entertain them for a couple of hours easily.
It really does. Uh-huh. Our older kids are over that now.
The new landlines, are they still cordless, wireless? That was a big deal.
But the one that I've seen recently, they're corded.
When the phone came out where it was a landline, but it didn't have the actual attached to the wall, that was like a big deal. It was more expensive.
Yeah. I remember.
And gave you more privacy because you could go off someplace.
We never had one of those.
Just sharing each other's feelings in the kitchen while you're on the phone. I think those are good responses. Let's move on to another response or another question. What do you wish you'd done differently or wish you'd done better with your 3 to 5 year old? What do you prioritize now? What maybe doesn't seem as important in retrospect?
With a 3 to 5 year old.
Yeah, what do you wish you would have done different or better with 3 to 5 year olds? I was just going to say, I wish I would have understood how much their brains just soak up so much of everything. And so I think just being more purposeful during that time of what are those types of things I really wanted them to memorize and learn and know, because they're such sponges during that time. Obviously that's not a behavioral thing. That's not a whatever, but that is something that I look back and I go, I wish I would have taken advantage more of, like, when their brain is attaching to these things. I think we were very intentional about, like, teaching them structure and obedience and respect as much as we could, you know, the things that you're trying to instill in their humanness. I mean, we did not do it perfectly. I know that. But I wish I would have taken more advantage of that. What are your thoughts?
I feel like I have a mixed answer because we have kind of two sets of kids, like two a little older, two a little younger. And I feel like with our first set, I think especially our oldest, and I think this is the story of a lot of first time parents, I actually wish we'd been a little less strict, a little, maybe that's not the right word. I'm still trying to process what I wish had been a little different. I think maybe a little bit less of an emphasis on behavior. Mm-hmm. And I see some of that in him now. Partially it's how he's wired.
You're talking about me or Duke?
Duke.
Oh, okay.
Where I'm like, oh, I wish we'd been softened a little. Mm-hmm. Maybe with the older two. And I feel the reverse with our younger two. Mm-hmm. I wish we had been a little more structured and a little, there was a lot going on at that time when they were that age.
I was just going to say,
So I understand why we weren't, but I feel like some things are harder now because we weren't as consistent
but to be fair, in the younger years, if that makes sense. But that was really hard. I mean, you say that, but I want to highlight, it's not because we didn't want to be.
Yeah. So I think what I'm highlighting,
medical circumstances that led to a bunch of inconsistency, which is something that we've had to hold.
So I think sometimes life just impacts what you wish you were able to do differently. But I think I'm seeing as they get older, I'm looking back at my younger self and how much pressure I felt. Like, I think I wouldn't have said I believed it, but on the inside, I truly believed everything rises and falls on what I do or don't do. So if there's a behavioral pattern, it's because I'm not addressing something enough. Mm. And that's tricky because there's a lot of truth to that, but there's also a lot of lie to that. Mm-hmm. And so I think some of my regret, I guess, is just how uptight I felt on the inside of how much I didn't put all of those fears and trust in the power of what God can do and how much I put it in the power of what I do or don't do.
Mm. That's interesting.
I have a thought.
Take us there.
First thing that came to my mind, this is not just for 3 to 5 year olds, but as I look back and, you know, we, of course, we're, Diane and I were in the Word, you know, every morning, but, and we read, we had family Bible times reading through the, you know, the picture Bible, which would kind of like the Jesus Storybook Bible. But I wish that I had read scripture, short scripture at every meal. And,
oh, that's good.
Tell looking back on it, I think, why did I not do that? Because God's word never returns void. It goes straight into their heart. And I thought of a verse, actually, you know, this is written to from Paul to Timothy. He was a pastor of a church. So like, and I always looked at this verse in light of a church service, you know, as a pastor. This is 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul saying, until I come, Timothy, give attention to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation or encouragement and teaching. So I'm thinking in the family, give yourself to the public reading of scripture. And I don't know why I didn't do more of it. So I think that one of the my mentors that I still look up to, he did it with a 3x5 card. He had just a son and a daughter, and they would just, as they were talking, they would pass a card around and you'd read it out loud. They were just having conversation, but within a few days, they all knew that verse. They do. So that was like scripture memory, but just reading it is so powerful. And so like before breakfast, read three verses from Proverbs, or I think if I would have done that, the word of God would have gotten even deeper into our kids' souls. So yeah, that's something if I had it to do all over again thing, I would do that. And it's fun. Wow. It's easy. You know, I'm not talking about reading the, you know, but you know, if you go back way before television and all that kind of stuff, if you go back into followers of Jesus, you know, in the 1800s, like this was really common family altar. Yeah. You know, there's, you know, there's nothing even before radio at night, but it would be pretty common to read a passage and talk about it over meal or, you know, after a meal. So. Yeah.
I think my regret is not understanding, and we've talked about this before, the difference between a willful temper tantrum and the immaturity of emotions and stress that causes like a meltdown. And I wish I'd been able to differentiate between the two, because I think if I had been able to, I would have known when to come along and support and look for the signs that my kids were emotionally beginning to unravel a little bit. And then, you know, all it would take would be one no, one direction, or, you know, one denial of a request, and a meltdown would happen that I often dealt with like it was a temper tantrum, when in reality they just were doing what we still do as adults. Just that last straw that breaks the camel's back. I don't even understand that metaphor, but just like that one last thing that is just a little bit too much, and they're looking for an excuse to fall apart because they're human. So I wish I had understood that difference.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good.
We want to let you know about a new offering, a 31-day prayer devotional entitled Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth. This book was born out of desperation. I didn't know how to lead my kids spiritually, so I started praying. Honest, dependent, daily prayers. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me," God says, "and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." If you want to learn more, head to intentionalparents.org. And if you partner with us at $25 a month or more, we'd love to send you a copy as a thank you. If you have more than one kid, sibling rivalry is very much something that I did not understand was so much a part of the job. Keeping kids alive and not killing each other is equally a lot of work. And that's interesting sometimes. No one really talked about that. with that, advice on improving sibling relationships. I want our children to be best friends when they're adults. Something that John Mark and Tammy did that I loved is they would always speak over their kids.
You are best friends.
Hey, you better get along because that's your best friend, you know?
Yeah.
And I think our, you know, you guys said it in the book, but our children will become who you tell them you see them becoming. I mean, that speaking that into existence, I think is huge, but how do we improve outside of just speaking life? Like, what are some things that we could do with our kids that actually improve their sibling relationship?
Well, first, I think mom and dad, you guys should speak to that because I think you guys did a good job with that as we got older and still do a good job with that now as we're adults. But I think maybe just to highlight, if you're working at this and you don't see any fruit, that's very, very normal. I feel like it is so much of, if you have multiple kids, it is so much of the parenting you will do is, and really you're teaching them about relationships that they will have in their whole life through that close proximity and the frustration of working things out with their sibling. But I feel like I experienced in my own family, I'm watching happen with our older kids. And I hear stories of time and time again, kids who fought nonstop when they were young and then at some point began to actually bond with each other and fight less. And as adults become close. Now you hear equal, if not more, stories of adult siblings who are not close at all, which is heartbreaking. And none of us want that. But I think the consistency and the prayer and the holding out hope that like, what I'm seeing right now is not going to be the forever. I mean, I feel like I'm even seeing it right now in real time with our older two, where they just are connecting way more about social things, pop culture. Like they're just connecting because they're in a more similar stage now. And do they still fight? Absolutely. Do they have years of wounds with each other and react to each other out of those wounds? Yes. But they also are starting to get coffee together on their way to church and actually enjoy spending time with each other, which was very much my story with my sister. We did not get along until high school when we moved away from everybody and knew absolutely nobody and were kind of forced to become friends. And we've been really close ever since. And we're very different. And we have some similarities, but our lives look very different. So anyway, I think just a moment of hope of like, if it's not happening now, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen in the future.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the only thing to add to that and is just to say that it is one of the best ways to teach your kids about relationship dynamics and rupture and repair. Not only is it with your parents, but like when a sibling who's their peer does the wrong thing and hits them or irritates them or steals their toy or whatever the thing is. Our kids are like your kids. They go hard. And so I think it's teaching them how to apologize. It's interesting though, our kids never like it. They do not like ever. And never. I'm not saying interesting like I'm surprised.
What, working stuff out with each other?
I'm just saying like the apology part, they're always just never genuine. So mad and they're just like, yeah, I mean, genuine is the hard word. It's hard to get to their heart about it. But it I think through the repetition of showing them how to do it. Because even the other day, Birdie was really frustrated with Sloan, or was just really frustrated at Sloan, but nothing had happened. I was like, I wonder if this is like a buildup of the fact that you guys have been kind of at each other and no one's been like working it out or apologizing. It feels like a buildup to me. Birdie's response is, no, she's just terrible. And I was like, proving my point over and over.
Right? Also, if we tell her you guys are best friends, she immediately says, no, we're not. We're sisters.
And there she goes, sisters, my best friend is Grace. My best friend is Grace. We're like, we know. We're saying this in theory, sweetheart. This morning, I have to tell you this, guys. This morning, you never know what you're going to get with Bird in the morning. That's my favorite part. Else, it's so funny. So I literally, I hadn't seen her. I didn't know she was awake. I knew someone was in the bathroom, or I thought someone was in the bathroom. I heard something in the bathroom, but the door was like cracked open. I knew no one was using the bathroom. So I kind of like pushed the door open a little bit because I was like, no, maybe Sloan or Bird are in here. And I pushed the door open and I just see Birdie's reflection in the mirror. So I don't see her face. I just see her reflection. She sees me
And she just makes a face and just hisses at me. She's like, she just hissed at me. She is so anti-morning.
Which is usually her morning
face. No, but I'm laughing because she's so anti-people in the morning that literally upon seeing me, she just hisses at me. And I'm like,
oh, gosh.
So then I came in and gave her a hug. I was like, I love you too. She's like, she just growling.
Well, you want to know what she did with me?
I don't know.
So shortly after, I got home from the gym and I walked upstairs and you had told me. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to like tread lightly.
Yeah, we always try to give each other a heads up. Yeah. Hey, it's
a no talk morning for Birdie. Yeah,
do not talk.
So I walk upstairs and the light's still on in the bathroom and I kind of like look in there. Nobody's in there. And I like look in her room because it was time to get everybody up and she's not in her bed. And I was like, weird. I wonder where she is. And I went and took a shower. And then after she had finally like was okay to talk for the day, like an hour later, she goes, you want to know where I was when you walked upstairs?
Wait, where was she?
And she said, I heard you come in and I heard you walking upstairs. So I ran and hid behind Scarlett's door so you wouldn't see me. Also, nobody would talk to her.
Yeah. Also, this is so funny how I feel like she's really taken the not a morning person to the next level.
Is she still doing the thing where she doesn't want Sloan to talk to her for 28 minutes, not 30, but 28?
Absolutely, she is. And if she breaks that code, again, sibling rivalry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
we had to change it though so that Birdie is allowed to get out of bed at 6:30 so she can have those 28 minutes alone and Sloan can come down at 7. But Sloan is allowed to talk to her.
At 7.
Is
Birdie still making her smoothie and sitting on the porch with Django?
Just depends. Yeah. She has different morning routines, man. She has different morning routines, but she does like waking up slow.
And
she's the oldest 9-year-old I've ever met. That's the truth.
Well, I'm sure Diane's going to say something here. I can't wait to hear what she has to say.
A couple things I'm hearing. One is, Brooke, you repeatedly said the word teaching.
Yeah.
I think you teach your kids who are at odds with each other what to do with that in the moment. So it's a constant because it's going to take at least a decade minimum. If they're real receptive for it to sink in because that kind of self-defense, don't invade my space, is just so natural to our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Made me think of the Proverbs 31 woman that you taught on last year, actually at the motherhood retreat.
That's right.
But one of the lines that was the most convicting to me as mom and as a person has always been verse 26, the second part. Well, the first part is beautiful. She opens her mouth in wisdom. Sounds so good. and the law of kindness is on her tongue. And I just remember so many times for myself, just crying out to God, would you just lock my tongue down to kindness because of that? Just automated response when my kids were arguing to just completely shut them down, harshly, you know, like to overwhelm them with stop. And those are missed opportunities to teach our children why a person is reacting to them. What they said, what they did to build in that kind of self-awareness, relational awareness of what's breaching this law of kindness. And it can be different from different other people. And even to be able to read people's faces, to be able to know when the blatant truth is maybe the truth, but it may not be best at that moment. Or just how to know people, how to approach people. So what you were saying, this is so true, Brooke. This is preparation for their future relationships.
Yeah.
But also the other thought I had was, I remember reading a lot about a sibling rivalry at one point when we were first starting Intentional and doing some blog posts on it. And to my surprise, found that most of the research confirms that at its root, sibling rivalry is one child wanting to be absolutely sure of your love because you're sharing that love with another. So it is that competition of instinctively feeling like her strengths diminish my strengths or highlight my weaknesses. So remembering instead of shutting it down, like I was so often prone to do, remembering that there's a whole lot more going on here and asking questions, stepping back and evaluating what is happening in my house. Is there something I'm not noticing? Like one of my siblings, you know, one of my kids might be teasing a child in a real pain point. under their breath or quietly. So just, I think treating it as a wisdom issue as a parent, and you are the referee, and ignoring the advice you'll get, which is let them work it out for themselves. Because I've said this before too, that the bully always wins in that scenario. The one willing to be a little bit meaner, a little bit louder, is the one who wins when you just let your kids work it out for themselves. Yeah. I do remember sitting down with Elizabeth, with you and Rebecca, way past those early years, especially in the pain of moving and having no friends. And you were old enough to know better, and you did know better, but in your loneliness, you were driving each other crazy.
Yeah.
Because you were each other's only companions and friends for a long period of time.
That's a good perspective.
And that was still, you needed somebody, a third party, to explain you to each other. And I think, you know, by telling parents to let their kids, they just need to work it out, I think that's generally a mistake.
Yeah.
All I would add is, Diane, one of your lines is, the problem with parenting is it's so daily. You guys are doing this daily. And it's bearing such fruit. Now you've got Duke and Scarlett grabbing coffee together on the way to church, because for years you called them out on bad attitudes, and with loving, you gave gentle corrections. You gave strong, loving rebuke. I heard you do one sitting right next to me the other night at our house. And that's a parental role. And I think that you're actually giving your kids a huge leg up in life when you teach them how to resolve conflict and how to treat people with respect and see other people's perspective. And that's training. That's training. You know, this is training. The word, you know, discipline in Proverbs is training. So you're training your kids and how to love others and how to
do it,
how to solve it. And it's going to just much success in life. They're going to get promoted in jobs and everything. So
it has to start with you though, right?
It has to start with you.
Because I'm thinking, even with the training piece, you can't take your kids where you yourself haven't gone. You can't lead people where you don't go. So I think it's even like, you have to get good at this too. You have to get good at that part of like, do you resolve conflict? Do you talk about it? And if not, that's where you start. It's not going to translate
but
to your kids.
But it's great when you, if you do it when they're young, you will see the fruit. Like you mentioned Jude and Moses, you know, Jamark and Tammy's boys. So when they were little, they said, why are you fighting? You two are best friends.
Yeah.
They would hear that over and over and over again. Well, now Jude is 19, Moses is 16, almost 17. We just had him up to spend some time with us, and I took him out to lunch, and I'm talking to him because they had moved to LA, and I knew that his former best friend was still in Portland, which still is his friend. But he said, well, Jude's my best friend. And so
Moses said that.
Moses said this. Yeah. So that's now it actually happened.
Yeah.
So that's what you're shooting for. And also they have a common interest. So I think if that's helpful too, if there is a common interest between kids, so they're working on a project together, you know, writing a script for anyway. But I think it was pretty cool. I was happy in that moment. I haven't even told Jamark and Tammy that, but how great that now that has become a reality.
Well, to piggyback on that, I was thinking, you know, so much of sibling rivalry as a parent just feels like drudgery, just feels like another layer of constant correction. But I think one of the memories that sticks out to me that I feel like you guys did a really good job with, and I think is important for all parents to hear, is as we got older, when there were times where we were getting along or we had an opportunity to do something together that was friendship related, go to a concert together, go do something together once we were driving and things like that. You guys really celebrated that and encouraged it and
paid for it?
I don't remember that.
Wow.
But they would let us.
Found your failure.
I do remember. No, we paid for all of our own stuff.
That's it.
But I do remember you like letting us out of cleaning up the kitchen after dinner because we wanted to go get ice cream together or whatever. Yeah. And we took advantage of that for sure. But
the truth comes out.
But I'm thinking we've been doing more of that type of thing with our youngers of just really celebrating when we see them getting along or when we see them having a shared interest. Or so I think it's so easy to do everything through the more negative lens, the corrective lens, which needs to happen. We have to do it. But I think if we can also bring in the fun and like highlighting, You guys love to make necklaces together.
Yeah.
Why don't we go to Hobby Lobby, spend the $10, endure Hobby Lobby, and get and get this more stuff to make necklaces that would keep them doing something enjoyable together. Like right now, our younger two, it's they love for me to print a million 50, coloring
50
pages
at a time.
I don't let them pick the pages anymore because the amount of time it takes for them to scroll through all the different options of the horse that coloring page.
They get
page.
To pick an animal. We get to pick
the actual one. So I say, you just tell me one animal and I'll surprise you. Anyway, but they love to sit next to each other and listen to old school Adventures in Odyssey and color. And so I will print them pictures anytime they ask because it creates a peaceful moment. And then I get to call out, I love it when you guys play so well together. And isn't this so much more fun when we get to just enjoy being together and not yell at each other? So that's younger kids. But as kids get older, like, and maybe we should take our own advice. Like, you get that, you pay for their coffee or just things of like encouraging.
I pay for stuff all the
what
time.
What you want to see happen.
It's quite overwhelming how many things I pay for our kids sometimes.
Very true.
And then the level of them thinking like, oh, this is a you thing to pay for. I'm like, I don't, what? Actually, Scarlett though, Duke will never ask this, but Scarlett does ask this. Like, we went to coffee the other morning. It was my idea. I was like, I'm going to get coffee. She's like, do I need to pay for my own coffee? And I was like, No. I invited you to, I said we should go to coffee.
She's really conscientious.
She really is. And I'm always like, you understand, like, you don't have to. No, it's fine. So
other members of the family come to you on Sunday and say, I really feel like sushi for my girlfriend and I. Will you pay for it?
Yeah. I think you're highlighting exactly who this person is. Listen, so many great questions. Thank you all for sending the questions in. Keep sending these questions in. And also, as a reminder, if you've listened all the way through to this end, please also send in a voice memo, like a question in a voice memo form, and simply just put your name, where you're from, and then just your question. What is your question? And then send that to hello@intentionalparents.org. And we'd love to listen to it in real time. So remember that. And thanks for listening today.